This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I don't know how anyone can stay quiet, not smile, not cheer along with Alex Ovechkin, or really any athletes who are enjoying a moment of just pure elation. And we saw that from the Capitals, obviously, from Ovechkin, who's enjoyed his time since the Capitals won their first ever Stanley Cup. But really, same thing at any sporting event. When you see a guy drop a big putt at a U.S. Open, or when a player hits a game-winning shot in basketball, or when a football team comes up with the Minneapolis miracle, for heaven's sakes. I mean, to see you guys go nutso, to see fans celebrate, I always get so caught up in the excitement, and I can't help it. It's one of the reasons I love sports. Yes, the agony of defeat, it pierces your heart, but the thrill of victory, I mean, I can celebrate even with other people and for other people. And the Capitals got me all sucked in, especially all those guys on the roster who had never been in that situation before. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you're waking up on your Monday morning, good morning to you. I hate to break it to you. It's Monday. It's hot in a lot of places. There's just no way around it. But it's a busy week in sports, so we're glad you're with us. Inside the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We got a couple of things up for you on our show Twitter at After Hours CBS. Videos of Brooks Koepka and some other big moments this weekend, like Mexico scoring the one and only goal in its game against Germany. We're about to put up our Man Crush Monday poll, which is a little bit of golf and a little bit of football and a little bit of baseball. Really incredible story that we'll get to here momentarily from Major League Baseball. Not to mention the Houston Astros have won 11 straight and just polished off a 10-0 road trip. Oh, hey there, World Series champs. So check out our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. On my Twitter, I posted some pictures from the weekend, or from my day at Shinnecock Hills Saturday, and also put a few of them up on Facebook. That does include selfies, even though you know I suck at selfies and I really don't like them. But I did put one up on Twitter and one up on Facebook so that you could see kind of the cool scenery behind me. That was really the point. The golf course and the famed Shinnecock Hills Golf Club, the clubhouse that was built in the 1800s, that is what I'd like you to look at in the picture. Don't worry about me and my smiling face. So, yes, I did put up some pictures on Twitter and Facebook, and we'll be piecing together a montage for YouTube. So I took a bunch of videos and I also took a bunch of pictures, and Isaac's going to help me put it together on YouTube like we did when I went to the Super Bowl and was inside, almost said Reliant Stadium, inside NRG when the Patriots came back and won the first ever Super Bowl that went into overtime. That was 2 years ago. And we put together a montage on YouTube that I know a lot of you really enjoyed. And just as a side note, speaking of YouTube, thanks to those of you who checked out my conversation with Bruce Arena from our last show Thursday night into Friday morning. Got a lot of feedback for it, and I do appreciate that you took time to hear what he had to say. I think there are a lot of sports fans around the country who were dismissive of Arena, but if anybody knows what's wrong and how to fix it, it would be Coach Arena. And so I appreciated his candor. I appreciated his honesty, and blunt as always. And the book is really interesting. I've read major portions of his book, and I hope that if you missed that interview with Coach Arena, you'll check it out on our YouTube channel. Let's see, with potential game changers all over the board, CBS Sports Network's team of college basketball experts will break down everything you need to know about this year's NBA draft class. So don't miss the Inside College Basketball Draft Specials. They start Monday night, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. That's CBS Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's the phone number. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to TJ, who's been hanging on in Miami. TJ, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Miss Amy.
Hey.
Yeah, remember last week I called and talked about Iceland as the dark horse?
Okay.
In the World Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to watch them. Your team is Poland, right?
Yes, I had to pick a team. My team is the United States, who's not there. But since I had to pick a team, Poland is deep heritage for my family. So,
you know, they were running a survey. They were on a survey, see which country buying the most tickets. The first number one is Russia, then followed by U.S.
Cool.
So there's a lot of U.S. buying tickets in Russia.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that there are a lot of fans who are still supporting the World Cup, even though, you know, Team USA is not there.
Yeah, and I was talking to a Trinidad friend the other day, and he was saying that in 1990, USA stopped them from going to World Cup because he said the Prime Minister declared the Monday a holiday because their first time to the World Cup, and USA went to Trinidad and beat them. So he told me it's a revenge. It was a revenge. Being that they did on the U.S.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is
hello?
That... yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so it was a revenge.
Beating. No, I gotcha. I don't really want to revisit. I gotcha. So, did you want to say something about the World Cup so far?
Yeah, my team, the Brazil, we didn't look good today. I don't like how we look today. That's the team, I think, going to win the World Cup. But if we don't improve, either between Spain, Portugal, or Germany will come back. Germany will come back. Germany always will be there. So, Karen, drop.
Huh? I think it was interesting that some of the powerhouses, the teams that are expected to do well, though this is generally considered to be a wide-open World Cup, but some of the teams that are expected to do really well actually didn't either win or they ended up, you know, with a draw or with a loss in this first game. So, yeah, that's interesting. It's far from over. It's just group play, but it may be a wake-up call for some of these teams for sure.
Okay. You like those commercials they're running about the car commercials that U.S. do not in the World Cup will come join us?
No. I'm glad you find it funny. I'm sorry. It still stings, so I'm not really on board with the funny.
And I heard a lot of people coming down on London, Donovan, because the commercial he just run, and he was wearing a Mexican gear underneath his shirt.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't like it.
I mean, whatever. Again, if the United States was in there, we wouldn't have this conversation, would we?
Yeah.
So,
but Trinidad says payback.
Okay, are you going to say it like a few more times, TJ?
No, I'm not saying it. Okay, Amy, sorry.
Gotcha. I mean, I get it. It was
nice.
The story was interesting the first time.
Okay, all right.
Thank you. Was he attempting to stick the knife in the heart and twist it a little more? I think that's what he was trying to do, laughing all the way. Fine, I get it. There are some people who do not feel any remorse over Team USA not being there, but I still, that's what I think about every time I hear the World Cup, every time I see anything with the World Cup, that's exactly where my brain goes. So it's somewhat therapeutic to speak to Coach Arena and know that he feels even worse than I do. Okay, I'll accept that. But at the same time, it does dampen my enthusiasm for this World Cup. I can't help it. That's just how I am. This is one of the biggest sports disappointments of my life over the last 10 years as a fan. A lot of that fandom gets kind of, I don't want to say erased, but the crazy enthusiasm and the high, high highs and low, low lows, they get very dulled when you work in this business. I don't have a lot of time for that kind of emotion because generally 5 nights a week, regardless of what's happening, my team or another team, I have to talk about it. I have to talk about it in a logical and unbiased way. Right. And so I don't have a lot of time for emotion or a lot of room for emotion. I remember after for those of you who don't know, I've been a Broncos fan since age 13, back to the days of John Elway. And there were obviously two times since I've been here at CBS Sports Radio Network, that the Broncos have been in the Super Bowl. The first one, they got completely demolished, absolutely wiped off the field by the Seattle Seahawks. And it looked that way from the very beginning. So I had to sit down in this chair, this very same studio, and do a Super Bowl postgame show. Went on the air literally 20 minutes after the game ended. It wasn't even 20 minutes. And so, you know, you have to lock in that part of your brain that kind of erases the emotion. And it wasn't until I woke up on Monday afternoon that it kind of hit me like, wow, that was ugly and painful. But then, of course, same thing just a couple of years later when the Broncos were able to win Super Bowl 50. I was thinking about it from a radio show standpoint as opposed to a fan standpoint. And so I really didn't have a chance to get excited or even allow that emotion to penetrate my Broncos loving heart until much later, until like the next day. So here's one of those situations where I definitely felt it, all of it, and will never forget watching the second half against Trinidad and Tobago and the United States falling flat and messing up and, you know, messing around and missing out on the World Cup and knowing it's 4 more years and knowing now that on the world stage there is no U.S. men's national team to root for, it still stings, as I've said and as I told Coach Arena. Let's quick talk to Raphael, who's in Vermont. Welcome to After Hours, yeah. CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy.
Hello?
Hey, hello, Amy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Oh, I saw your selfie. It's a beautiful picture. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I don't care. It's just that's not the focus of the picture. The picture is the golf course, really.
Yeah, but I'm going to take you to task on soccer. I like, you know, you bring soccer, but nobody say anything about the goalies. I mean, there's a lot of bad goalies doing that competition. I mean, we're watching, you know, that game where Ronaldo, he scored 3 goals. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the goals were the goalie just gave them away. And then we're watching that game where they lost. That means out of position. That means the defender is standing in front of the striker. That means those kind of things are a basic mistake. But it seems like these days nobody mentioned it. None of those things doesn't matter. It's just like, everybody use cliche, but nobody is talking about the level of the competition. And the United States is not playing. That means it's not only the United States. Netherlands is not there. Italy is not there.
I mentioned that before.
Nobody has the right to be there.
That's not something we haven't talked about. We've talked about that too. I mean, I'm not going to get super technical about soccer because the majority of my audience nationwide isn't so deep into it that they need to hear me breaking down X's and O's. I did when it was the United States, as more people were involved and, you know, more people are engaged by it. But yeah, I mean, I love soccer and I know the game of soccer, but I don't necessarily need to be diagramming it on the radio. Not to mention that kind of stuff sometimes doesn't translate on the radio. I don't think anybody's giving anybody else a pass. I just think you are more passionate and knowledgeable than probably the majority of people who are listening.
Okay. I mean, that's what I had to say.
All right. Well, I hope that you're enjoying it. Oh, not enjoying it that much, apparently, or not enjoying the conversation with me. He wants to take me to task. I mean, I'll just be honest. I am in the same boat as many people around the country, around the United States I'm speaking of, and you know, Canada too. You couldn't even name the goalies for most of these teams. And you know Ronaldo, and you know some of the superstars, Neymar. But come on. Like, this is not, it's not the number one sport in the United States. It's not even close to being the number one sport in the United States. And while this is a grand sporting event that people will tune in to watch, a lot of fans who are watching around the country are watching these teams for the first time. I mean, this is, you know, not something that we talk about on a regular basis. So I'm not going to sit here and break down X's and O's for a World Cup game until maybe we get a little deeper into it. But, I mean, we definitely talk about it when it's the U.S. men's national team. It's the World Cup. So it's interesting. But trust me when I say that caller was getting incensed about nothing. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get back to more of your calls. 855-212-4227. Also, some of your tweets about Kawhi Leonard are interesting as well. Some interesting ideas that you've got. And you can find me on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for listening on this Sunday night for some of you, Monday morning for others of you on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
There are probably a lot of people listening to the show who are only half awake, but I don't take that as a diss. Is diss still a word that people use? I won't take that as a insult, whatever. I heard a pastor once talk about how every week there was a woman who would go to church and she would fall asleep in the front row, and he would not get offended by it, nor would he ever say anything to her when he would, you know, shake her hand or when he would speak to her directly, because he figured if that's what she needed at the time, if what she needed was to sleep and the only place she could sleep was in church, well, then that's good. At least she's getting what she needs. So if you're listening to the show and you have insomnia, you can't sleep, and you're hoping this will help, it doesn't bother me at all. If you're on the phones and you end up falling asleep, that does not hurt my feelings. If what you need is to sleep, I understand how important sleep is. If you're half awake instead of fully awake or wide awake, well, that's okay as well. We do really enjoy collecting collecting animal snores. That's we have a great montage. Now we've got a sheep. What do we have, Isaac? We have a sheep. We have a goat. We have a horse. We have some type of a lion or a big cat who's preparing to pounce and is, you know, like stalking its prey. We have a bear. My favorite is the Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio. The great thing about these people who fell asleep on the phones, and I do believe they're all male, so no offense, but it's all guys. I mean, 95% of the show is male callers and listeners, but
nah.
Yeah. The best part is that they never woke up. I tried talking to them. I used my soothing, semi-indoor voice. Yeah, I tried talking. It didn't wake them up. They were fully, completely asleep. Yeah, it's this yoga music that we use on the show so often, of course. What? Make it stop, because I will be half awake, half asleep.
Not on the Amy Lawrence half marathon playlist?
No, absolutely not on my half jams list. That reminds me, I need to sign up for the next half. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's take another call here. Then I have to tell you about why I saw the throat slash. Who directed a throat slash at me on Sundays of all days? I wasn't even working, for heaven's sakes. Raz is listening in Toronto. Welcome to After Hours.
How you doing tonight?
I'm good, thank you.
Or this morning, should I say.
Well, it's still night for me, so I'm good either way.
I was just calling. Actually, I wanted to speak about some basketball with you. I wanted to know what your thoughts are on the whole Kawhi situation, on if San Antonio still has a chance at saving their franchise player.
Well, there's always a chance until the trigger has been pulled, so to speak. And in this particular case, San Antonio has the power. Now, I know Cleveland shipped Kyrie out when he still had time left on his deal, so it does happen. But in my opinion, the stock for Kawhi has plummeted quite a bit. We haven't seen him on the court except for 9 games over the past year. And whether or not it is true, from the San Antonio Spurs perspective, which this is the team obviously who's trying to get something for him in return, he was cleared by their team doctors and still decided not to play. It, in my opinion, behooves the Spurs to hang on to him until his stock goes back up when he gets back on the court, right? So I think if he starts to play early next year, and I don't think his camp is going to want him to sit out any longer because, you know, he'll have less and less leverage. And not to mention he'll be going into a contract year. So once he gets back on the court, I think that's when other teams can see him play, other teams that might be willing to offer more if they're in a position where they need one more guy or they think one Kawhi Leonard could put them over the top. I don't know that if I'm the Spurs, I do anything right now. So I try to work it out, and if it doesn't work out, well, then I wait until I get the best bang for my buck.
Gotcha. And they're saying, you hear all this talk about him going to the Lakers and all that. And I don't see San Antonio shipping him off to a team where they're going to get, like, where they can get something better from a different team, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the deal. Kawhi could say,
where he wants to go to.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter where he wants to go to. That's the thing about having time left on your contract. Now, the caveat being that the team they ship him to may not, like the team that they may want as a dance partner may not be willing to make the trade unless Kawhi agrees to sign a long-term deal. So think about the Paul George situation, right? The Oklahoma City Thunder trade for him with Indiana, but he did not sign an extension, meaning now they could lose him and not get anything in return if he chooses not to re-sign with OKC, but the Thunder decided to take that risk. Well, it could be similar with a team that would trade for Kawhi. So the options, the trade partners for the Spurs become more limited if Kawhi decides he will not sign an extension if he makes. So it's kind of it's a chess move thing, right? The Spurs can say, well, you may want to go, but we hold your rights. Kawhi's camp can then say, well, we're going to limit the leverage you have because we're not going to sign an extension if you ship us to some place where we don't want to go. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's a dance. It goes back and forth.
Right. Just, I have one quick question. I know you guys got to go, but I was just wondering your thoughts on the Toronto Raptors. I'm from Toronto. Big sports fan here in the city, and I was just wondering what your thoughts are on where they're going to move forward with the team, with the new coach now, if this is a rebuild or if they're really going to try it one more time, maybe try to bring somebody in.
Dear Lord, I hope not. I mean, Raz, I'm sorry to be the Debbie Downer here, but I've said this multiple times on the show, going back to their sweep against the Cavaliers for a second straight year. It's time to make major changes. It wasn't just the fact that they lost 4 games in a row and they lost to the same team. I get it. LeBron's a formidable opponent and the Cavaliers came together at the right time. It was how they lost. It was the lack of pushback. It was the lack of guts. It was the lack of even trying. To me, they look defeated, and that's a problem. That's about the leadership. And I feel like it's been 3 years now. And granted, they've run into the same team, but that's no excuse. Fight your arses off. What did Indiana do? Indiana found a way to push that team to 7 games because they were physical and because they were not intimidated. To me, the Raptors looked intimidated and defeated from the very first game. And so that's on leadership. It's on the organization to not have the right guys in there. I'm not sure who their identity is. I think 3 years is enough. I think they hit a glass ceiling and they need to blow it up. And I'm sorry that it cost Dwayne Casey his job, because I don't necessarily think he's the problem. And I was also surprised, just as a final note, I was surprised they promoted from within as opposed to bringing someone else in, because that to me feels like perpetuating the issues.
Gotcha. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. Have a great Monday. 855-2 after I just dashed all of his, like, any potential excitement or optimism he had about the Raptors. I'm like, have a good day. Okay. I mean, he asked me. I have to be honest. What else am I supposed to do? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. We'll take more of your calls coming up. I got a throat slash from someone that is half my size. And also, we've got some really cool stories from Major League Baseball, including one that might make you tear up if you were celebrating Father's Day and if you're maybe a new dad. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, take our Man Crush Monday poll. I'm not even sure all of you will know the candidates, but that is the beauty of being able to vote for someone that you know. A lot of times it's all about name recognition when we go to the polls. And on our Facebook page, too, you've got both Man Crush Monday as well as a few pictures from my trip to Shinnecock Hills on Saturday.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
This may not matter. McCann gets into one. Right field, and there she goes. Brian McCann beats the shift over the wall in right field. It makes it a 5-1 ball game. McCann's fifth dinger of the year.
Gattis hits it in the air pretty deep to left center field. Going back on it is Almonte at the wall. See you later. A grand slam for Evan Gattis. Hitting the 0-1. And Altuve drives this one into left center field pretty deep. Gordon is going back, and that ball is off the wall. Around third, and scoring easily is Springer. Bregman right behind him. The throw to the plate will be cut off. Bregman scores. It's a two-run double for Altuve, and a 2-0 Astros lead. And Correa hits it in the air deep to left field, and you can kiss that one goodbye. We're tied at 4 on Carlos Correa's blast, his 13th of the year.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's an 11-game win streak culminating with this 10-0 road trip that the Houston Astros just used to catapult back into first place in the AL West. So the World Series champs are at 48-25 now, and they do have one of the top winning percentages in all of Major League Baseball. In fact, the top four teams in terms of winning percentage and record right now are in the American League. You've got the Red Sox with the most wins at 49. The Yankees still have three fewer losses and actually three fewer games. And so those two teams are tied atop the AL East. And then both the Astros and the Mariners have 40-plus wins. In fact, Astros are at 48 now. And this 11-game win streak is solidified them still as the team to beat. Yes, the defending champs, which means you got to knock them off their throne, but man, they look good, spurred by that pitching rotation. Now the hitting has been on point as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227 is our phone number. We've also got our Man Crush Monday poll, hashtag MCM. It's up on Twitter as well as a spot on Facebook, and a lot of you are weighing in. Producer Chris picked an interesting backdrop for the Facebook post, and I love it. Generally, it's pictures of the actual athletes, but in this particular case, it's like a post-it note. So you can check that out. Post some pictures of Shinnecock Hills on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Before we get back to our phones, I know a lot of you are weighing in about soccer and about what happened at the U.S. Open. And we'll talk more about Brooks Koepka going back-to-back when we get past the update at the top. But there was an incredible story from Arlington, Texas on Father's Day. Wild week for rookie catcher Jose Trevino. This guy has only been a Major League Baseball player for 3 days. Three days. Oh, my gosh. And then he just became a dad for the first time this week. So he becomes a Major League Baseball player. He becomes a dad in the last week. And then, yeah, there's probably a lot of that. So the poor guy is really tired. But he still manages to come up with the hit in the bottom of the ninth to cap a wild rally for the Rangers past the Rockies.
Swung on and a fly ball short left field. Falling fast, base hit. One run home. Here comes Kiner for Rafa. Here comes the throw. He slides. He's safe. Jose Trevino has won it for the Rangers. 13-12.
oh, and it ends so abruptly, but still pretty amazing in Arlington for Trevino. And afterwards, he was understandably emotional. So you can still hear people cheering in the background, and you can hear the exchange with the reporters. He's emotional, which you can tell by hearing, though you can't actually see it, but I just want you to hear it anyway. This is on Fox Sports Southwest.
Hard to put it into words, isn't it?
I knew this was going to happen.
Tell me what was going through your mind when you stepped up to the plate with the bases loaded.
My dad. My dad. I wish he was here. I knew he was going to help me, too.
What does it mean for you to have your son here?
A lot. I can't wait to tell him about it. It's one of the craziest weeks of my life.
To help this team the way that you have, to have had the week that you've had, for things to fall the way that they have, what will you take from this week, this experience, especially here today?
I don't know. You're going to have to ask me in like 2 hours, so I'm going to soak this all in, but it was crazy. It's crazy how things work in baseball and life. It's crazy.
So good. And you can hear him sniffing there as he's really teary-eyed, and why not? On Fox Sports Southwest, and then before that, Eric Nadell on the Rangers Radio Network. So Trevino has only been a major leaguer for 3 days. He gets into the game in the top of the ninth because the Rangers catcher has a ball that is fouled off his left foot. So then Trevino comes into the game. He's not even in the lineup at that point on Father's Day. Comes into the game, and the Rangers put 4 runs on the board in the bottom of the ninth, and they get past the Rockies for this crazy win, and his son is there. So I think it was a shot of his mom who had his son up in a box, and he was alongside. And someday, as Jose mentioned, he'll have a chance to tell him about it and tell him what happened on his very first Father's Day, as they're on their very first Father's Day as a dad and son. So that's really awesome. Congratulations to him. And before that, by the way, Steve Sparks and Robert Ford on the Astros Radio Network. So yeah, these are heady times for baseball teams in the Lone Star State, except that it's a Ranger season in which they are struggling and they're in the basement of the AL West, which is why I love these kind of moments. I always think it's really cool when there's either a highlight like this or a losing team, a team that isn't likely to go to the postseason, though I guess anything can happen. But right now the Rangers are 19 games back in the AL West. You have maybe a no-hitter for a team that is in the basement and isn't going to be experiencing any type of October excitement. So good for them. Good for the Rangers and good for Jose, and congratulations to him on both his new son as well as his breaking into the major leagues. Day number 3 was it was a lot to take in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Russell is listening in British Columbia. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you.
That's good. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Cool.
And I'd like to talk about the LeBron James saga that's going on.
Well, it certainly is going to spin into one, yes.
If he's going to figure it into one, yeah. Where he's going to end up, or where do you think he will end up? Because I'm thinking that he will probably be a good fit with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Now, why do you think that? Right now, they don't have a whole lot. So why do you think he's a good fit there?
Well, I think with him, the Lakers will go a lot further than they have been in the past, so...
Well, yeah, of course, but what do you put around him? I mean, any team that adds LeBron James is going to go farther than it has, and these have been some difficult years for the Lakers. Last year was a lot better than what they'd had the 2 years before that, but through the retirement of Kobe Bryant, it's been difficult. They've changed coaches. They've tried to draft some players. They've had injuries. They shipped out some guys this year and brought in some other guys that they can clear up. So what do you put around him?
What about putting Kawhi Leonard with him? What do you think about that?
I mean, once they figured each other out, they'd be good. The issue is they play the same position. Now, I know in basketball these days, you know, that's not necessarily an insurmountable hurdle because you could have more than one wing on the court. But if Kawhi Leonard is upset about the offense going through LaMarcus Aldridge, which is one of the reports coming out of San Antonio, that he didn't like how many touches LaMarcus had to have, what's going to be his response when he's not the number one guy on a team with LeBron James?
Yeah, I understand that for sure.
Yeah.
Also, I was just wondering, with that golf thing that just, like, that golf with, what's his name?
U.S.
Open. Mm-hmm. The thing that with, what's his name, that he did the two putts or whatever.
Phil Mickelson hitting a ball before it was done moving?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. What's your reaction to that?
Well, it was I was incredulous when I saw it. So I was there on Saturday when it happened, and I almost couldn't believe my eyes because I've never seen a pro golfer do that in a major. Now, someone tells me John Daly did it a few years back, but Daly and Mickelson are not on the same plane. Mickelson himself said that he had thought about doing it before but had never done it. Now, I thought initially that he did it out of frustration, but he is explaining that he did it on purpose, that he preferred to take the two-shot penalty instead of trying to have to chip the ball back up on what was a really difficult pin position anyway. So I do think people are taking it a little bit too seriously. I saw some tweets about, you know, fathers telling their kids that we don't follow that example and like disrespecting the game. And so again, I feel like that was a little bit too, at least for me anyway, taking it a little bit too seriously. He was already frustrated on the front nine. He was missing putts. Everybody was missing putts. And he just, you know, he just decided he had enough. And so he went in and hit the ball before it stopped moving.
I saw that too. So,
good. Have you heard of Phil? You've heard of Phil Mickelson, right?
Yes, I have. Actually,
okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm a golfer, but I'm not an avid golfer. But I have an uncle that's a really good golfer too. So,
Well, what did he think about Phil?
He didn't really say anything to me.
Got it.
I don't know if he watched the game or not.
Well, it is the U.S. championship, so I guess if you're in British Columbia, you can get away without watching it.
Yeah, exactly. I guess so.
All right,
and
Russell.
Also, another question, my last question is who do you think the Vancouver Canucks are going to be getting as their new captain as the Sedins retired?
Oh, I have no idea. I'd have to look. That's something to spring on me right before the top of the hour when I don't have time to look at it. How about I think about it, and I'll try to get back to you. Next time you call, I'll be ready for the question.
Okay.
Okay, Russell. Thank you so much.
Nice to you again, and you're doing a fantastic job.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
And you're really awesome.
Thank you. I hope you have a great Monday.
Yeah, you too. Have a good night.
That was very nice. It didn't leave me any time for my throat slash story, so, you know, that's going to have to wait. I didn't throw down, though. I took it as an adult and turned the other cheek. All right, 1 hour to go. Brooks Koepka repeats, even though he is not under par for the week at the U.S. Open, but he muscled his way through Shinnecock Hills, and that's where we'll start our next hour. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.